Blog Talk Radio. This is the EWN Radio Network.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in three.
It's time for Life Interrupted Radio, a show dedicated to practical skills for your mind, body, and soul. We're hoping we'll go in one ear and stay there. Here's the host of the show, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome to this special series we're featuring here on Life Interrupted Radio, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. The NIH estimates nearly 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder. To put that in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. You'll be as surprised as I was to find out what autoimmune entails. I brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted. So let's get started. Welcome to Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and it's my pleasure to be with you here again Friday night, 7 p.m. And each Friday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time is when a new interview goes live on Life Interrupted Radio. Know that all the past episodes are still evergreen and great information filled with great interviews over at LifeInterruptedRadio.com, on blogtalkradio.com, as well on iTunes, Stitchers, and all the other great places for podcasts, you'll find Life Interrupted Radio. We're still doing part of our special series on autoimmune conditions. And autoimmune conditions comprise over 80 different conditions. These are chronic medical conditions. They're not contagious conditions like some people might think when they hear the word autoimmune. We're talking about conditions such as lupus, multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis, and then you get into the more obscure autoimmune chronic illnesses as well. But there's just a multitude of ways that your body, your immune system, begins to attack your body. That's what autoimmune means. But it isn't a life sentence, as many people hear it and they're like, oh no, my life is over. Well, no, it's just different from now on. And one of the things that I love to do, and that this love has not changed, I loved to do it before, and now I still love to do it, and that's travel. And tonight, I decided to just share with you, without a guest, some of my top travel hacks for traveling with chronic illness. I love to travel, and I refuse to give that up, no matter what. I just find that it takes a little extra planning, a little extra thought. So I wanted to share my top travel hacks with you. And then please, as if you love to travel too and you've got some great travel hacks for traveling with chronic illness, share them with me over at Life Interrupted Radio in the comment section of this podcast. I'd love to know what your travel hacks are, or any additions that you come up with of the ones that I share as well. The first part of it is, I know travel takes planning, but with a chronic illness, it takes much, much more planning, and you need to plan further out, meaning you could start several months beforehand. And I suggest just writing up a checklist and checking off just to make sure that you've got everything covered. And the first thing I suggest when you want to choose a location before you put a dollar down on it, that you do a lot of research on the location, especially the more remote the location is. You need to do more checking on all sorts of things, everything from access to medical care to even evacuation opportunities. Can I get a flight out quickly if I need to maybe a more modern facility if you're going to a very remote location, as well as not all countries allow all medications in. So So we even have to get to that detail level to check with the embassies, with travel agents, however you're doing this, and it doesn't hurt to double check, are my medications allowed into the country? There are some medications that are not. So I know that sounds odd, but just because we can get them here doesn't mean that we can get them everywhere. Next, check the immunizations that you need for the location you're going to. Sometimes, depending on your condition, you can't get specific vaccinations, whether they're a live vaccine or it's contraindicated with your medication, the way the vaccine is prepared. So be sure and check with your physician, as well as many large hospitals have international travel sections, and they have a list of the current updated requirements for vaccinations or medications you need to take for conditions abroad. And they'll be able to tell you if you can take them and how far in advance you have to take them. So be sure and double check any sort of immunizations well abroad, because it would be terrible if you put the money down and then realize, I can't go because of this vaccination, I can't get it. So the vaccinations are the next thing you need to look into far in advance. Also, if you don't have one yet, order a medical alert bracelet or carry some sort of what I call an information medical packet. And you want this packet, I actually carry both. I have a medical alert bracelet and a medical packet. In your medical packet, you want several things. You want your prescriptions in the prescription packages they came in. Many, many countries won't allow medication in those 7-day packs because they don't know what it is. So make sure that you take it in the medical package that it came in the prescription package that it came in. You also want a letter on the doctor's letterhead stating that you're under the doctor's care, and contact information for the doctor, and anything that's urgent for a EMT or medical technician emergency situation that they need to know. So you want some of your medical history, any of your allergies, any contraindications for your medications, so they know what you're taking and can have that all with them. You have it right away and easy access. And I actually go one step further. I have two medical packets. I have one on myself and I have one with a travel partner. So if anything happens and my bag is lost or whatever, we have a duplicate copy. Of that letter I mentioned about the physician, carry several copies of it as well, because you might be asked to leave it on file somewhere and you want to leave a copy. And you can't trust that every place has a photocopier at hand, and the last thing you want to do is give over your original copy of that letter, especially if you're traveling to more than one location. Also with supplements, be sure that those are in the original packages as well. Just because it's your multivitamin doesn't mean that they're going to know what it is, and you may lose it if it's in those multi-packs, those multi-week packs. Also, take enough of your over-the-counter medications that you know work for you and are okay to take with your meds, because a lot of the brand names are different in certain countries. So we don't want to rely on saying, oh, I can get that. It's a brand name. I want to get that abroad. It may or may not be different. I just like to be pre-prepared, knowing that what I get here and that particular brand name works with my meds. So I take plenty of those sorts of over-the-counter things that I might need, everything from sunscreen to over-the-counter pain relievers types of things. So be sure that you have more than enough of all of those types of things before you go. The next thing I like to put in my survival pack are foods that I know I can eat. Many people with autoimmune have food allergies or food sensitivities, and they find that sometimes it's difficult, especially what I call those tide you over snacks. You're stuck on the tarmac on a plane, you're stuck on a train, and you can't get access to a grocery store or other thing where you can get the kinds of foods that you know you can eat. have plenty of those types of snacks that you can take with you and carry them just for emergencies. I also carry my favorite tea. If you've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio, you know I'm kind of a tea snob, and I always carry my favorite teas with me as well. So just to me, I would rather leave a t-shirt at home, an extra pair of pants at home, and carry things that make me feel comfortable and just ease my comfort and ease my stress. And speaking of that, if you want to, take a pillow. Take your pillow, take a blanket, whatever makes you comfy and cozy. I have a little silk, I think it's called a sleeping bag. It's not really a sleeping bag because it's more like a silk sheet that's folded over into a little bag. But I like to take that with me. It's very warm. And sometimes flying overseas when you're on a long flight, 10, 11, 12-hour flight, it can get quite cold, especially if you're in the window seat. So I like to prep with all sorts of things. And one of the things I carry is this silk sleeping bag. It's really, like I said, a sheet. It's not a big puffy sleeping bag, so it doesn't take much location up space in my bag. It's probably 4 inches by 6 inches, something like that, 2 inches high. It's great. I love it. And I also have a very fluffy jacket with a hood, and it rolls up really tight and really small, too. It's one of those that rolls into its own pocket. I love it. You just zip it up, and it's small, too. But my goodness, it's warm, and I love to pull the hood up over my head and just sleep on those long flights the best I can. It's really just one of those things that I'm, like I said, I'm just going to leave the extra t-shirt and the extra pants at home and have the things that make me comfortable. I also carry in the survival packet a water bottle. So oftentimes you can't carry water like on a plane, but you can carry a water bottle and fill it up. Or just have it with you when you travel. It's great if you're on a long tour and don't have access to water, because hydration is so critical in our wellness and our keeping ourselves well. Keeping ourselves well hydrated, it keeps us feeling much better, much clearer headed, everything. I find that hydration is even more important when we're not feeling well, when we're feeling stressed. So a water bottle for sure, as well as book or some other sort of entertainment. I also carry my phone, making sure I have plenty of charge, so I carry an extra battery. And I also carry my converter kit with me for the electricity. And I also carry one of those, I guess you'd call them an extender, where you can plug more than one thing into it, because if you meet a stranger and they're sort of hogging the plug, you can show them that you have this device that you can plug more than one thing into it. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, I've had people generously say, sure, not a problem, and we were able to share the plug. I know, gosh, you're carrying all this stuff. But I have found it's easier to rinse out your shirt and let it dry overnight or dry it with a hair dryer than wish you had a battery charger for your phone or an extra battery for your phone because it ran out at the most inopportune time, or you got hungry and had to eat something that gave you an allergy or activated your food sensitivities and created a downward spiral in your health. So that's why I say having the survival pack, this just in case of emergency pack, is important, not just for your medications, not just for your over-the-counter meds, your supplements, the doctor's letter, the food, and the things that make you comfortable, like my little sleeping bag, a little tiny pillow I carry, as well as that roll-up jacket that I love. So you need all those sorts of things to keep you comfy and cozy. A phone charger, extra batteries. I also pack hand sanitizers, those little sanitary wipes. I love some herbal ones that have essential oils on them and don't have the alcohol, but it's really just a choice. I just like the smell of them. But it's your choice what you carry. But I always carry sanitizing wipes so I can wipe down different tray surfaces and rails or things. I also carry what I call, they're glove liners. They're not heavy gloves, but they're just little glove liners. They're lightweight gloves, and sometimes they can protect your hands from the suns or harsh conditions, or if you're just worried about germs because being immune compromised, autoimmune is autoimmune compromised, you need to be careful about that. I also carry a mask with me. I have rarely used it, but I like having it just in case. I also carry in the survival pack a very lightweight cotton scarf that I can throw around my neck to keep it warm if it's chilly, if I throw it up over my head and across my face and eyes, if I want to sleep and not be bothered and block out the light. It's a great way to sometimes shut out the world. I also carry in my emergency pack Kleenex and toilet seat covers and things to dry my hands, one or two heavy types of napkins or paper towels, anything to dry my hands with. You'd be amazed at how many, even upscale locations, cities, as I mentioned, I just got back from Rome, and how many times I ran into restroom facilities that were far from ideal. So it's important to carry those sorts of things with you as well. Another thing to think about comfort and pre-planning is when you make your lodging location choices, call ahead, and not just the reservation line, because usually those people are not at the specific location. They're just reading off a sheet in some faraway land. So you want to call the specific location, get their local number, talk to someone there local, the front desk or planning, something like that, that's local. You know they're in that location, and ask very specific questions. And the first one I always like to ask are, maybe you need a specific kind of room. Maybe you need a tub or no tub or a room closer to the elevator or something with an assistance like a handle or levers. Know that a lot of countries abroad do not have the same disability compliance rules that we have here. You may or may not find curb cutouts. You may or may not find in hotels a room that has the assistance devices that you need. So it's important that you call ahead and find them. Also, oftentimes, if you need a refrigerator for your medications, if you call in plenty of time and tell them that it's a specific medical condition, they will waive the fee. Sometimes there's a fee for a refrigerator or a cooling situation for your medications. But if they know that you have a specific medical condition, oftentimes they'll waive that fee if you call ahead of time, far enough ahead of time, because usually they only have a few of those, and oftentimes they can be booked out, and it's tough to get them if you wait until the last minute. So be sure and call ahead of time and ask for assistance and find out all those kinds of things that you need to know. In a lot of foreign countries, even in developed countries like Europe, I've noticed that many times in these older buildings, even the elevators are quite small, very small. I've been on several where it's even just been hard to turn around standing up. So if you require medical assistance devices to help you move for mobility, be sure and ask about that too, not just the room, but the getting to the room. Like, is it on the first floor? What's the size of the elevator? How do I get there? Kinds of things. I know it's all these crazy things to think about, but knowing that even in the developed countries, they're not all the same rules. So it's important just to make a list of everything that you want and ask for it. Ask for assistance, including on trains, on planes, all of those types of things. People are willing to help if you just ask for any special accommodation that you need. And I was talking about comfort a minute ago and my little sleeping bag, and I just want you to be sure as you go about your trip, planning it in such a way that you're not packing too much in. Prioritize the things you want to do and the places you want to see. And know that as fun as it sounds, time changes, the lack of sleep, the different diet, the stress of traveling is going to take a toll on you. And you need to give yourself plenty of grace, plenty of opportunity, and sleep is never overrated. Even when you're abroad, you'll probably need more sleep than you do at home, because the body recovers during sleep, and you'll be taxing it during these trips. Even though it's tremendous fun, be sure and put in your calendar times for sleep. The next thing you want to be sure and pack, like I said, I leave t-shirts at home, I leave pants at home, but the number one thing I pack are two pairs of quality shoes. And I really don't care about fashion here. These are shoes that are made for walking on cobblestone, on rough road, on soil, you know, on mud, whatever. These are shoes that are made for sightseeing and getting the most out of my trip in the most comfort. It's not about fashion, folks, when we're trying to travel with a chronic illness. It's about what makes us the most comfortable. And also be sure and do some stretches. If you're stuck any place for a long time, be sure and get up and walk around. Even if you're on a tour bus seeing the sights, it's move around. Even if you're just moving your legs in place or rolling your ankles or stretching your back, whatever it is, be sure and lift your heels and just move about if the best that you can to stretch and keep the blood flowing, because moving not only the blood flowing but keeping that lymph system going will help strengthen your systems while you're abroad. Because you will be exposed to many things that you have built up an immunity to here. There are many little just changes and bugs that people don't get sick abroad because that's their natural environment, just like your natural environment here. You don't get sick to the things that you're used to. But oftentimes travel exposes you to new and many things. So even consider carrying a mask. I have a mask. I rarely use it, but I carry one just in case. But I do always travel with a scarf around my neck, and I've been known to throw it up over my head and across my face just to keep the steward from waking me. But oftentimes, I don't understand this, but oftentimes on a trip, they will wake you to see if you need anything. Unless you make it very specific to them, don't wake me. And one of the ways to do that, I find, is just like totally covering your head with a hood or with a scarf and covering your eyes and making it very clear, even maybe verbally if you want, please don't wake me. I don't need a meal until I wake up or till I say so. So you want to be sure and tell them that as well. So allow plenty of time, allow plenty of humor as you travel and prepare. And speaking about preparing, we need to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back with some more of my favorite travel hacks.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift. Welcome back to Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and it's just me tonight without a guest. What I've been talking about, sharing about, is my passion for travel, my love of travel, my love of the adventure, and how you do it when you get a chronic illness. I've traveled a lot of the world before this, and now I want to keep doing it. So I've come up with some things that I never thought I'd have to think about. Some of the things I've shared so far are your medications. Carry them in the original bottle they came in. I always like to carry two bottles of them, one with me and one with my travel companion in case something happens. The other is vaccinations. Make sure you plan plenty ahead of time and see if you can get the vaccinations required, or maybe your particular condition doesn't allow you to get the vaccinations required. Hate to have you lose money on your trip if that was true. Also, check ahead with the hotel. Make sure that they are have the need things that you need, such as handles, rails, showers, not tubs, whatever that is. Make sure the elevator is big enough. And then one of the things that, you know, I find that you have to have a lot of humor when you travel. Yes, I always knew that. But you know what? When you travel with a chronic illness, you better bring plenty of humor along as well. Because there are so many times, recently one time, I had to have some blood tests, which I need every couple of months just to check things out, before I left. And unfortunately, I got the worst, what do they call the phlebotomist, the person that takes your blood, I got the worst one of probably ever in my life. It's just stabbing me here, stabbing me there, and it was painful, it was awful. But the worst part was I ended up with probably a half a dozen bruises on my arms. And to tell you, for just embarrassment, it looked like some sort of strange, you know, tracks or something. And I'm going around with long sleeves at all times because I don't want people to look at me to say, what is wrong with her? Why does she have all these bruises? Because I could guarantee you that strangers are going to look at you in horror sometimes, and some of that, when you open your carry-on bag and it's probably got more medical equipment than clothes or books or anything, they're going to look and say, you know, in their mind, they may not say it out loud, but you just sort of feel it at times that, what are other people thinking? Because oftentimes with chronic illness, it's not obvious. It's not like they can see it. So they're looking at you just sitting there before you get on board the plane or on the train or whatever, waiting for a tour, and you look fine. And then all of a sudden, they, you know, at some point in time, maybe you have to sit and rest, or it's time to take your meds, whatever that is. And then you just have to have plenty of humor, go with it, and just ignore the strangers who give you those crazy looks about, like, what's wrong with you? I don't even bother trying to educate them anymore. It's really not worth it because most often they're not really interested. They're just curious if they're in danger because all of those blood test tracks, maybe you're some sort of crazy addict or something. I say, take your humor along with you because it's crazy important to have. The second thing, as far as not a physical product, just like take your humor along with you, is just take the ability to ask for assistance whenever you need it. Regardless of when they look at you and they say, well, you don't look, you know, ill, you don't look weak, you don't, whatever it is, be willing to ask for assistance whenever you need it. It is much better than doing something that's going to harm you and stop you from your trip. Imagine that you do something, you carry something, you lift something, whatever it is, and it doesn't allow you to finish your trip. Wouldn't it have been much easier to ask for assistance? Even sometimes if you have to hire a valet or a porter or a driver for a few dollars, to me it's always been worth it just to ease my stress. I'm paying a lot of money to go to these wonderful places and have a wonderful adventure, and I would hate for me just being thrifty because I didn't want to pay a porter a few dollars to help me ruin my entire trip. Yeah, ruin my entire trip. Not worth it. Not worth it. And finally, the last thing that I want to share with you is, you know, a smile goes a long way. In any culture I've been, a smile goes a long way to get people to help me. Even if I don't speak the language, oftentimes people can, it surprises me how generous people are. So be sure and take your humor, ask for assistance, and smile. That's about it for my travel hacks. As you can tell, a lot of it was pre-planning, things that probably I didn't think about so much before. I used to just sort of throw it all in my backpack and take off on an adventure. Now, not so much, but I'm still able to enjoy the adventure. Rome was very packed with other tourists, and I still had a fantastic time. Took a lot more taxis than I used to. I used to walk the cities, but this time, you know, made some accommodations. I was still able to get out there and have a fantastic adventure. So please go over to lifeinterruptedradio.com. Share with me there in the comment section of this podcast what your adventures are, the things you've learned, how you travel with chronic illness, or maybe not, just maybe you don't have chronic illness, but just some great travel hacks you've learned as well. And you could share with me. So that's it for this episode of Life Interrupted Radio, travel tips for dealing with travel and adventures, even if you have a long-term illness, how you can still enjoy the adventures of life and do the things that you love. So join me here again next Friday night for a new episode of Life Interrupted Radio. As always, have a great weekend, whatever your adventures. Enjoy.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at sharonsaylor.com/radio gift.
This is the EWN Radio Network.